A 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversation.
Yahoo!
Welcome back. We're back talking about servanthood once again, and we're going to continue on with the next question, which is, if you are feeling depleted, can you still serve? Let's see, Gerard. I think Gerard has gone through that recently. So if you're feeling depleted.
Yes, I have.
What do you do? Do you stop? Do you keep going?
So the common answer would be take a break. Mm. But Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls.
Hallelujah.
So the way to properly recharge is spend time with Jesus. That's a short answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a lot of the burnout that happens is because they substitute ministry with God with ministry for the church. And that's important too, ministry for the church. But ultimately, you have to be ministering to the Lord first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's a scripture talks about Martha and Mary. And Martha is busy with household chores. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus as he teaches. Mm-hmm. And Martha goes to Jesus. She says, Lord, don't you care that I'm just here with serving really, really hard? Mm. And Mary is just sitting at your feet. And then Jesus is like, Martha, Martha, you're troubled and anxious about many things, but Mary has chosen the greater portion that will not be taken away from her. So the revelation I got from this verse was before we can serve effectively, we have to know how to sit at the feet of Jesus effectively first.
Mm.
So before serving, we got to sit, you know?
That's right.
So the answer to do we keep serving if we're burnt out? The answer to that is just, well, look at your relationship with God first. Now, if you are serving wholeheartedly and you are spending time with Jesus, maybe go to a desolate place for a while. Jesus says to his disciples after a ministry trip, he says, let's go to a desolate place and rest a while.
Mm.
He says, come, amen. Let's wait, let me pull up the verse because I got it here for y'all if you want to read it. It's Mark 6:31 in the NLT. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat.
Mm.
Mm.
And there's a big confusion in the church, I feel, where if you're taking a break, it's a sign of weakness. But really, it's not. Jesus is inviting us to take rest. And you'll know it's coming. But at the same time, learn to push as well. One thing that I learned from my PT, I completely bailed out of this lift because I felt it off the ground. I was like, man, that's heavy. And I bailed. And he goes to me, it's always going to feel heavy, but you just got to go.
Amen.
So that really ministered to me. And he doesn't know that. But that I've...
Start crying.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you have no idea.
Mid-lift, you're just crying.
Yeah, for real though. So it's always going to feel heavy, but you just got to go.
Amen.
Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Jesus was feeling heavy and he was feeling so heavy that his sweat turned to blood.
Mm.
But he just went.
Yep.
It's always going to feel heavy, but you just got to go.
Yep.
Period, baby. Let's go. Let's ultra.
But
you'll know when you have to take a break.
Yeah, the spirit led Jesus to the wilderness.
The wilderness, exactly. So yeah, if your flesh is screaming, I don't want to do this anymore, I want to take a break, obviously don't do it, right? And there's this moment in my life where my flesh was screaming for a break. Screaming, absolutely screaming. I was so tired of the ministry. I was so tired of just having all these expectations, being told to smile and you're at the front, blah, 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 this and that. You know, I was just like, dude, like, I just want to spend time with God. I don't want to worry about people looking at me, right? And I was just so burnt out. Mm. And then I remember talking to Jamison as well. We were going through the same thing at the very same time. And both of us wanted to take a break. We didn't know at that time. And I remember that one service, God completely wrecked us, bro.
Amen.
So, and the both of us were told to just keep pushing. So if Holy Spirit says, yeah, kiddo, you can take a break. It's all good. I know you've been working hard for me. Let's go to a desolate place and rest a while. There's moments like that, but there's also moments where it's like, come on, we have to push through. We have to push through because when it's hard, you build character.
Amen.
So yes, it might be hard, it might be heavy, but you just got to go sometimes, bro. So yeah.
Mm. All right. Take a break when your coach tells you to take a break.
Exactly.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
A coach.
Yeah.
The ultimate PT.
Yeah. What I have written is feeling depleted is an indication of being separated from the vine. And the verse I have to back that up is John 15:4-6. And it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branch. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burnt. So I have been in that place of complete depletedness. And then I was asking God, what's going on? You seem so far away. I haven't heard you in a long time. Nothing's happening. And God gave me the picture of me being a withered branch in that verse. And I felt it. I felt like I was dying and I wasn't producing anything. And it was because I wasn't abiding in him. And what it looks like to abide in him is, I'll bring up another verse. So Hebrews 4:3 is, for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest. So I'll say that again. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest. Mm. For he has said, I was grieved with them and have made solemn oath. They will not enter into my rest. And then 6 and 7 says, God's works have all been completed from the foundation of the world. Those who first heard the good news of deliverance failed to enter into that realm of faith rest because of their unbelieving hearts. Yet the fact remains that we still have the opportunity to enter into that faith rest life and experience the fulfillment of the promise. For God has still ordained a day for us to enter into called today. For it was long afterwards that God repeated in David's words, if only today you would listen to his voice and do not harden your hearts. And so for me, the revelation was to abide in him is to believe in him. So right here it says they could not enter into his rest because of unbelieving hearts. And those Israelites that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, they could not enter the rest. God gave them a promise that they would enter into the promised land. But for 40 years, they couldn't. And the only reason why is because they didn't believe. Mm. And I think I was in that spot, like, when is it going to happen, Lord? Mm. I've been doing the same thing. You said this, you said that. And I know, like, we're told to take God at his word, but my heart when I was saying that was complaint. Mm. I was complaining, and complaining is an indication of unbelief as well. Mm. To abide in him is to trust in him. So yeah, feeling depleted is an indication of being separated from the vine. And just like what Gerard said, you need to get into that secret place with God. That's the only place you can get rest. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, Jamison, you were going through the same thing at the same time as Gerard. What did you learn in that experience?
Well, I learned that you have to, and this kind of rolls into kind of like, you know, how do we enter into rest as well, is that you have to learn how to make it a priority. We have to make the conscious decision to enter into rest, you know, through, like you were saying, being connected to the vine. We can be so caught up in the business that we actually forget to rest, you know, when we're supposed to be resting. So I think learning, you know, that we have to make an effort to actually set some time, make it a priority to actually spend time in prayer between you and God. So I'm not talking about prayer meetings. I'm not talking about corporate prayer. I'm not talking about within the ministry. I'm talking about your own personal time with God. And even taking a day to just really just, well, rest or sleep even. You know, that's very important. Like what Jerry was saying, like Jesus made a priority to go to a desolate place with his disciples to actually recharge themselves. And this is why we have the Sabbath. You know, Jesus says, and I've got it written here, he says that the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people. Sabbath was created for man to rest. It wasn't the other way around. He says, yeah, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of Sabbath. So people think that it's a law to fulfill. That's not what Sabbath is. That's not what rest is. It's actually for our benefit.
That's right.
God created a day for us to recharge, to regain, to be able to re-strengthen ourselves through him. It's not that we're here to tick a box and say, correct, I've done Sabbath. No, it's so that you can actually recharge and get back to the work that God has assigned you to do. So in learning that, yeah, learning to prioritize Sabbath. Mm. And Sabbath doesn't necessarily mean Sunday. Going to church. Yeah, church on Sunday. Yeah, Sabbath could be right in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
You know, the Apostle Paul says that some people choose, you know, one day holier than the others. In fact, it's every day is equal,
yeah.
You know, but you've got to have at least one day that you can devote yourself to God.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, every day devote yourself to God.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is important. Jesus, he gave us that demonstration. He displayed that we do need to take rest. Yeah. And if it's important to Jesus, it needs to be important to us.
Yeah.
Or else you're playing a very dangerous
God
game.
God of all the universe took a rest day.
Amen.
Like there's this culture in the church where it's like, oh man, we got to serve. We got to do all this stuff on a Sunday morning and I'm getting tired and I don't want to wake up early and stuff. And if it gets to that point, you're not in a servant heart.
That's right.
So, and you're on the way to burnout, and like you need to be able to come from a place of rest. We work from rest, we have to work from that state of rest. It's like, you know how people are like, oh, Monday, I wish it was Friday already. No, we're not supposed to be living like that. We're supposed to be living from a place of rest. We're well rested all the time. There was a story from Curry Blake. He was under Lester Sumrall for a while, and they were on a mission trip in some country. Every morning was prayer time, every single morning. Week by week, the younger guys started dropping off like flies. They were getting tired. But Lester Sumrall was there every single morning. He found a secret in that place. And Curry Blake saw that and imitated him. Lester Sumrall was drawing from the well of a relationship with God in the morning. He made it a priority to spend time to be rested with God. Obviously, that looks like something. If you look at a man of faith like Lester Sumrall, you can tell that he's been with Jesus. If you look at, you know, people from different churches now, like what's his name from Jesus Image, Michael Koulianos, you can tell he's been with Jesus. If you look at Mr. Miller from Upper Room, you can tell he's been with Jesus. All these worship leaders that we look up to, you can tell they've been with Jesus. So you can tell that they're rested. You can tell that they are ministering to the Lord from a place of history, a place of, you know, being well rested, like I keep saying.
Amen.
It's this moment where you get to understand, like, okay, well, sorry, let me just restart that thought. Being rested, it leads to a greater ability of servanthood.
That's right, yeah.
So with the Martha and Mary story, Mary was resting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting doesn't require anything. You just have to sit. That's it. And you listen. That's it. Serving, obviously, you have to get up and go. So there has to be the right balance. And it's not about, sometimes it doesn't feel like a balance. Sometimes it feels more like a juggling act. Whatever works, we have to do. So we have to be from a place of rest so we don't burn out. That's a key thing in the ministry.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add, Guara?
That's really good, guys.
Yeah, so rest. You've obviously felt in a place of depletedness.
Yes.
What did you learn in that season?
So resting is like two ways for me. It's physically and spiritually. So I could be resting physically, but my mind's not resting. Like it's constantly anxious, constantly worrying. So it's easy to rest physically, but like when we start thinking about things, you start to worry, right? Like I think a lot of us want to take control, like do things our own way. And that's when I start being depleted, because I'm starting to do my own way now and not God's way. So being burnt out and depleted is because I'm not spending enough time with God. That's it. Like it's so simple. Like you're supposed to be spending time with God, but you're not. That's why you're feeling depleted and you start to worry. You started to do things your own way. So the rest that I've learned is that God will do what he promised he would do. He will accomplish what he will say. And that I have rest. So physically and spiritually I have rest. Like then I don't have to worry, because God is not a man that he should lie. He will do what he says. So yeah, resting is not just physically, it's your mind needs rest too. Like you gotta be at peace, spirit, soul, body at peace. So that's how I rest.
I saw an Instagram post that talked about different types of rest. So like when your soul is tired, it said one of the dot points there was to take a break from social media because it's just overstimulation. And then when your body is tired, you take a rest from physical activity. You know, you go to the sauna, Sauna fixes everything.
Yes, it does.
It does. And then spiritual tiredness. One of the dot points was read the word, stay in fellowship with believers, stuff like that. So yeah, there's these different types of rest, and you need to discern which part of you is tired. Because yeah, so if you're physically tired, you need to actually take a rest.
Yeah. Yeah, whoever said that rest is for the weak is completely wrong. Because the rest is where you get strength, like we were saying earlier.
That's your weight on the Lord, renew this.
That's exactly right. Renew. That's what resting is. It's a renewal. It's a renewal phase. It's like for anyone that trains at the gym, right? A huge component of development is rest. Yeah. If you're constantly training, then you're not going to progress. You're going to regress. If anything, you need to have implements of resting periods for you to actually grow.
Yeah.
And same with like, you know, you like to cook. You like to cook a nice piece of meat. The best part of it is when you set it to rest.
You gotta
let it rest, man.
Let it rest, baby.
And then that's when its full potential comes out.
Yes. You know otherwise, what I mean? The juice will come out.
That's right. Yeah. You ruin it. You ruin it.
Yeah. That's right.
Cheers to that. Cheers to that.
Amen.
Yeah, Cheyenne.
Yeah. In the Old Covenant, Levitical priests, one of the commandments or orders that they live by is that in and out of season, they are prepared. Always. In and out of season.
Yeah.
So they're on their in season, right? They are constantly in the temple. They are constantly aware and vigilant of the people that are around them. They know their schedule. Out of season, they're out of the temple. Like it's like a rotation. But they are constantly prepared. They are always ready. I think if we're operating out of burnout or depletion, it's very easy for us to operate out of resentment.
And
we end up resenting people, resenting ourselves choosing to say yes to this thing. And then in the end, if we let it go that far, we can resent God.
Yeah.
Like, why are you making me do this? Like, why do I have to do this? But yeah, if we're operating out of rest, I think everyone gave really, really good examples of just sitting at his feet and just spending time with him and like spending time in prayer. That's so important. You can just, yeah, like what Gerard said, like you can really tell when someone's spent time with God. And it really does make a difference. And for those who like speak at the front or minister at the front, like you can feel a difference as well. You could just flow because it's out of overflow. I was sharing with during a prayer and fasting one night that in Psalm 24 or 23, I believe, he causes our cup to overflow. If we're operating out of overflow, like I'm already full all the time. I'm never in a position where I'm not ready to give, where I'm not ready to minister, where I'm not ready at like in any case. So constantly being in his presence, constantly allowing God to pour into me so that I can overflow.
So
there's a difference between being full and to be in that overflow. So for me, that has been a goal of mine, because I've been in that position where, you know, where I have this expectation that, you know, this certain days I will get to rest, certain days like I can expect, like I can make other plans, but then it changes last minute and you know it happens, but then resentment starts to build up and it's like, oh, like can I trust this person, blah blah blah. But yeah, if we're operating out of rest, operating out of relationship with Jesus, all that stuff, it doesn't matter. Like in the long run, it really doesn't matter. But yeah, so that's all I have to say.
I'll add a recent revelation. It's so simple. The just shall live by faith. And that verse that I gave earlier in Hebrews, how they couldn't enter into rest because of unbelief. What I realized was faith is the doorway to grace. And grace enables you to do. So I was stuck in a place where I didn't feel like I was up to it. I didn't feel the power of God. I felt like a normal person trying to do spiritual things. And I was like, this stuff doesn't work. God is not doing anything. God's not moving in my life. it's not working. I started to become completely doubtful of God and who he is because I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling any of what he promised, said what he said would happen. I wasn't experiencing anything. And I started all of these verses started coming into my head as I was thinking about all that stuff and really bringing it to him in private. And he's like, "Do you believe me?" And I'm like, "Of course I do." And then he's like, "What you believe is exposed, revealed by your actions. Do you believe me?" "No, I don't. I don't believe you."
"You got me, Lord. You got me."
And then, yeah, like I was reminded of like how Jordan Peterson, he says, "I live my life as if God is real." And I think that is what true belief is, because your actions reveal what you truly believe. And so I was calling myself Christian, yet I wasn't doing what I said I believe. I was just saying I believe it. Those who are doers, those who are hearers only deceive themselves. And I was deceived. And God revealed that to me. He was like, "You're in unbelief. That's why the grace isn't there." And when I realized that, I'm like, okay, if God said it, it is so. And he said that who the Son sets free is free indeed. So I am free. Doesn't matter if I don't feel free or not. I am free because he said. Even if it is in direct contradiction to what I'm seeing and feeling, he said it, and so it is so. And that's what faith is. It's faith in him, and then faith in him opens the doorway to grace. And in our, like, I think probably our first podcast, I remember Jemison was saying, you got to believe first, and then the results happen. The world wants the results first before you start to act. But in the kingdom, the way it works is you believe first, you dive in first, and then God will come. Amen. That's when God springs into action. It says to draw near to God, and then he'll draw near to you. So it takes action first. It takes you to take that leap of faith, to say yes, to take that first step, and then God will meet you where you have taken an action of faith. Mm-hmm. But in saying that, even though I was unfaithful, he is still faithful. He still helped me out and met me where I was at, in that pathetic place of doubting God. He loves us enough to not let us stay in that place of unbelief. And if that's you, then you got to get up from that crap and trust God at his word. Whatever God says, it is so. He's not a man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should change his mind. He's not like anyone on earth. He's God. And he exalts his word above himself. And when he says something, there is such an authority and power. And for you to not trust that, that's at your own detriment. And you're actively living outside of God's will when you do that. And then you start to walk into that same place where the disciples were walking for 40 years of wilderness, complaining, just going around in circles. For them, there's really nothing happening. It's wilderness. So there's nothing that's hard. There's nothing that would make them burnt out. But it's because of the unbelief, they never entered into rest. And I felt that I wasn't doing anything particularly difficult. I wasn't doing anything that was taxing on my soul, on anything, on my flesh. I was just so numbingly tired. I wasn't exhausted. I was just in this place of, I can't be bothered, you know? And I think that's the key to get out of that faith. The just shall live by faith. Okay, so I think we'll need to do a third episode. Does anyone have anything to add before we finish? Nope. Okay. Can we get Cheyenne? Yeah. Can Cheyenne pray?
Hallelujah. Okay, for sure. For sure, right on. All right. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for your presence with us right now and for everyone who is listening. I thank you for your rest, and I thank you for your yoke, which is light and it's easy. And we're yoked together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just receive this rest that we're talking about, and I ask that you would impart revelation and wisdom to people listening,
to whatever we've shared about, Lord. Just continue to minister to them in their spirit, in their heart right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, if they're experiencing burnout, if they're experiencing bitterness because they've been operating out of their own strength, Lord, thank you for shedding a light on that situation right now and revealing what is the true issue in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we just take this time right now. Lord, everything that we're holding on to in our own strength, in an effort to have a control on a situation, Lord, we release it and we entrust it to you now, in Jesus' name. So yes, Lord, I just release that, and I thank you, Lord, for accomplishing your word, and continue to just reveal to more and more of yourself to them every day, in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, thank you guys for watching. Rate this one 5 out of 5 if you liked it. If you don't liked it, as always, don't worry about it. All right, see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at contact@harvestnowchurch.com to suggest a topic to talk about or to ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.